Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on shaping a Reese patch with groove pull tricks for drum and bass. If you want that proper rolling DNB energy, the secret is not just the sound of the bass. It's the edits. It's how the rhythm moves around the drums. A plain mid-bass wobble can sound fine, but a real Reese in a DNB track has pressure, motion, and a little attitude. We're going to build that from scratch, then use groove pull to make it feel alive without losing the tight, dark punch the genre needs. First, let's build a clean bass rack. Start a new MIDI track and load an instrument rack. Inside that rack, create two chains. One chain will be your sub, and the other will be your Reese body. For the sub, keep it simple. Use operator with a sine wave, or use wave-eatable with a very clean sine-style oscillator. The goal here is stability. No fancy movement, no stereo nonsense, just a solid low end that can hold the track together. If you want, add a tiny bit of saturator, just enough to give it a touch of weight. We're talking subtle, maybe 1 to 3 dB of drive at most. Now for the Reese chain, load wave-eatable or analog and use two oscillators slightly detuned from each other. Saw waves are a great starting point. You want harmonics, width, and that slightly gritty movement that makes a Reese feel alive. Keep the detune modest. In this style, too much detune turns into a blurry wobble, and that's not what we want. We want controlled aggression. A low-pass filter around 120 to 250 Hz is a good starting point, depending on how much upper movement you want. If the patch feels too static, a very light chorus ensemble or phaser flanger can help, but go easy. The moment it starts sounding too shiny or washed out, you've gone too far. Now separate the rolls properly. The sub stays mono and centered. The Reese gets the motion and width. On the Reese chain, add EQ 8 and high pass at somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz so the sub owns the true low end. That separation matters a lot in drum and bass. Your kick and sub need to hit like a truck. If the Reese is crowding that area, the whole drop loses impact. If needed, place a utility on the Reese chain and widen it a bit, maybe around 80 to 120%. Just be careful not to smear the bottom. And always check mono compatibility. A wide Reese that disappears in mono is not a win. It's just a mix problem waiting to happen. Now let's write a simple 2-bar bass line. Keep it minimal at first. Think in terms of notes that support the drums, not fight them. At 172 to 174 BPM, drive phrase where the bass lands on the end of 1, on beat 2, and on the end of 3. Then in the second bar, change it slightly with one longer note and a pickup into the next bar. Keep it in a minor key if you want that darker DNB vibe. Start with root notes and fifths. Don't rush into fancy passing tones yet. The groove needs to work before the melody gets clever. Also, leave space for the snare. That backbeat is a huge part of the DNB pocket. If your bass keeps stepping on it, the whole thing will feel cluttered. This is where the edits mindset starts. You're not just writing notes. You're editing rhythm against drums. Now open the groove pool in Ableton Live 12 and start testing grooves on the MIDI clip. Use something subtle first. An MPC-style swing, a humanized drum groove, or a light shuffle can work well. For dark DNB, you usually want just enough movement to make the phrase lean forward. You do not want it to sound sloppy. Try starting with timing around 10 to 30%, random around 0 to 5%, and velocity around 0 to 15%. In this style, timing is the main character. A little shift can make the bass feel like it's pushing into the groove, which is exactly what we want. If it starts feeling late and lazy in a bad way, back it off. If it feels too rigid, nudge the timing up slightly and compare it against the drums. And here's a really important teacher tip. Groove pull works best when the MIDI is already strong. If the phrase is vague, swing just makes it more vague. Tighten the pattern first, then let groove tilt it. Now duplicate the clip and create a few variations. This is where it gets fun. Make one version with subtle groove, one with a stronger groove, and one that stays tighter. You can even split the phrase conceptually, so the anchor notes stay grid tight while the pickups and upper notes get more movement. That's a very effective DNB trick. It keeps the bass locked while still sounding human. For example, your main loop might have groove at 15 or 20%. A fill version might go a little looser, maybe 25 to 35%. A tighter variation could sit at 5 to 10%. If you want a call and response feel, keep the first part of the phrase straighter and let the response phrase land slightly behind the beat. That contrast can make a simple 2-bar loop feel way bigger. At this point, if the patch is sounding good, consider resampling it to audio. This gives you much more control. You can chop it, reverse it, fade it, and nudge pieces around like an edited drum part. In drum and bass, this is huge. Bass and breaks often work together like one machine. Once recorded, You can warp it gently if needed, but keep that subtle slice on note changes or rhythmic accents. Then add tiny fades to avoid clicks. If a slice needs more groove, nudge it a few milliseconds late. Just a tiny delay can add a surprising amount of feel. Now think like a drummer, even though you're working with a melodic bass. Ask yourself where the bass supports the snare, where it leaves room for ghost notes, and which notes act like filler between drum hits. If there's a break layered in the drums, try matching your bass edits to snare accents, kick pickups, or little gaps after the main hits. That kind of interaction is what makes the track feel alive. A useful arrangement approach is to keep bars 1 through 4 fairly stable, then introduce variation in bars 5 through 8. Maybe add one extra pickup note near the end of the phrase. Then in bars 9 through 12, increase the groove a little more, or open the filter slightly. By bars 13 through 16, pull the phrase back a bit or create a response phrase. That way the loop feels like it's evolving, not just repeating. Now add movement inside the sound itself. Automate the filter cutoff on the Reese chain. If you're using Waveatable, automate Waveatable position too. You can also move the chorus depth subtly over 4 or 8 bars. Another great move is automating the utility width slightly wider in fills and a little narrower in chorus sections. For the Reese layer, try sweeping the filter from around 150 Hz up to 1.5 Khz over time. Don't do that on the sub, just on the Reese body. Keep resonance modest. Around 10 to 25% is usually plenty. If you want deeper control, map a macro to filter cutoff, distortion amount, width, and maybe to tune or noise level. Processing matters, but don't overcook it. On the Reese chain, EQ out mud around 200 to 400 Hz if necessary. Add a little saturator to densify the tone. Use compression only if the patch is inconsistent. If you squash it too much, you'll kill the life you just built. And if you want extra grit, a quiet parallel return with amp or pedal can add attitude under the clean signal. Now let's put it into a short drop arrangement. Bars 1 to 4 can be your main groove with moderate groove depth. Bars 5 to 8 can add a variation, maybe one missing note and one extra pickup. Bars 9 to 12 can open the filter a bit more and push the groove slightly harder. Bars 13 to 16 can strip the bass back down, or answer the first phrase with a different rhythm. And here's a really useful mindset. Groove should be intentional, not accidental. You are not just shifting notes for the sake of it. You are shaping emotional motion. A tighter groove can feel more urgent. A looser groove can feel more dangerous or more laid back. In D&B, that difference is massive. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make the Reese too wide in the low end. Keep the sub mono. Don't overdo groove pool timing. Even small shifts go a long way in this genre. Don't randomize bass velocity too much unless you really mean to. And don't let the bass fight the snare. The snare pocket is often the real test, not just the kick. If you want to push this further, try tiny manual late note nudges after you commit the groove. Or make one section tighter and another looser for contrast. You can even create a breakdown moment where the groove gets a little more exaggerated because the drum density drops. That can make the return to the drop hit harder. Here's a quick practice challenge. Build a sub plus Reese rack, write a simple 2-bar phrase using only 3 to 5 notes, and apply a groove at about 15% timing. Duplicate it twice. Make one copy tight, one medium, and one slightly looser with an extra pickup note. Then resample your favorite version, slice it into a few pieces, and move one slice slightly late. Loop it against a drum break and listen for whether it sits better in the pocket. If you get this right, the Reese stops feeling like a static synth line and starts behaving like part of the rhythm section. That's the D&B magic right there. Tight sub, moving mids, groove with intention, and edits that dance with the drums. That's how you shape a Reese patch that really rolls.